Greetings in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Overcomers.ca The New Jerusalem, Chapter 7, Assailed by Affliction, Part 3. Scriptures, Psalm 48, verses 1 to 14, King James Version, a song and a psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. End Scripture. As you go through your life, dear overcomer, and as you endure the afflictions that assail you, remember that the Lord is the master of your life, and he is the one who is permitting your life to be encompassed with many infirmities. Have you any trial, dear overcomer, that is of a crushing nature? Is there the threat of multiple areas of testing that you do not know you can conquer? Are you compassed with scourging and depression on every side? Has your life come to a place where you know not if you are situated in stability and you wonder if you are going to fall? Has the most awful thing, the most terrible testing, the most horrendous trial that you feared the most happened unto you? Has your physical body been injured, and has your body been assailed with sickness and disease? God has seemingly turned away his face from you, and you find him hard to seek and to find, and often do not know where he is. Is there such an inner turmoil and conflict in your life that anything more added to your daily burden would surely crush you and stifle any expression of life in you? Have you lost someone dear to you in death? Has your life been a grief ever since? Do you have family members, friends, and neighbors who do not understand you at all, and when they look upon you, do they think that you are insane? Are you strange to those who live around you and view your life? Are you cut off and alone? Is your measure of fellowship with other believers only with one or two and no more? Have family members stopped talking to you and have walked away in a dearth of silence? If any of these things, as well as a multitude of other things, have happened unto you, dear overcomer, then you are enduring the Euroclydon wind. The ship is being torn apart. Your life has been racked, dear saint of God. You who feel as far from being holy as is possible. Instead, you see flesh in your life, and that which you would not do, you do. that holiness you desire is only a faint hope. Dear overcomer, the winds of Euroclydon blow upon your earthly bark, and you are to be envied. How envious a position you are in, for the judgment of God abides upon your mortal frame. Your life is encompassed with infirmity of every sort, and God is the doer of it. God is reducing you to nothing. There will be nothing of you left when he is done. And not just that, dear overcomer, it is that in this time we are in, the heat and the fire is increasing every day. That last sentence again. It is that in this time we are in, the heat and the fire is increasing every day. The areas of testing assailing your mortal frame are more. The fires are daily growing hotter. The testing is becoming more insurmountable. You are becoming more confined. So near to the breaking point was your frame yesterday. How much closer to being broken today? And on top of that, you prayed. You fasted. You sought hard after God. You allowed him to sweep through your soul in times past and were crushed and broken already. But the crushing, the breaking, is continuing. Perhaps there were many around you who thought your life was a waste, who would encourage you to take comfort in natural things, to forget God, to go into the world and be one with those who reveled in the nighttime. You may have been tempted to think your prayers are not being heard or answered. All such are the afflictions of the righteous. Psalm 34, 17, verses 17 to 20 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken." Dear saint of God, you who feel so unworthy, all this is God making you worthy. I'll read it again. Dear saint of God, you who feel so unworthy, all this is God making you worthy. For the next part of Psalm 48 now comes into reality for us. For the trials of this life prepare us to enter by the gates into the new Jerusalem. There we will have a joyful reunion with those who have gone in before. There the trials of life will be ended. The conflict of mind and heart will be no more. As in verse 8, "And we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish her forever." Selah. The end of your trials is sure. The end of your trials will usher you into the new Jerusalem, where no trials can ever exist. Your eternal home, the fires will be done. The Euroclydon winds can blow no more. That which was past is forgotten. That which is new and of the new creation is all that remains. A joyful reunion with those who have passed on before, never to part company again. Note the words of the verse above. "As we have heard, so we have seen." The hope of eternal life was once a hope, once a future vision. But in this dear overcomer, the hope is no more. The vision is no more. For the hope and the vision become reality. Listen carefully to this dear overcomer. The New Jerusalem will be on the earth. The New Jerusalem will be on the earth, and you will see it and enter into it. Those who you saw during your endurance of the trials of life, the winds of Euroclydon, will see this and will repent themselves of judging you. For the New Jerusalem will be on the earth, in plain view, and only the holy shall enter therein. This will be in the time of God shaking all other things. In the midst of the shakings, God will have an established people, a holy people, a people who have become a refuge from the storm. For the New Jerusalem is a people who have overcome, who have been fit by the handiwork of God into that perfect place within the walls of jasper. These people who are the overcomers are the dimension and the framework of this glorious city of God. And their location will be on the earth, while the earth reels under great and awful tribulation. A people in whom there is no more testing, no trial, no shaking, no fires of consuming or winds of destruction. They are a people who become a refuge for the broken and for those in great tribulation. These who are part of the overcoming company become the full expression of God in newness of life, with no sin or iniquity in their members. What I have just described to you, dear reader of these pages, is the true rapture of the Church of Christ. For Christendom's view of what they term the rapture is not based at all in truth, because it is based on escape doctrines, doctrines that would cease one from enduring the hardships of life, from going through the gamut of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and entering into partaking of the tree of life. Escape from pressure, from discomfort, from persecution. Escape from the fearful, false doctrines of eternal torment, of eternal separation from Christ in a Christless eternity. The very term rapture appears not in the Word of God. The very term rapture appears not in the Word of God. But this which I describe to you is not rapture, but being caught up. But being caught up. Those who are alive and remain. Those who endured to the end, or if you will, finished the race. And where are they caught up to? The New Jerusalem. To live in bodies of glorified flesh, in spirit only. The city of our God. No more trials, no more death, no more separation from those you love who may have died and passed from this world. And do you think there is something you must do to earn the right to be part of this true catching up? Yes, there is one thing you must do. You must simply walk through each trial you are in now. Just endure them. Glory in them. Be awed by them. Glory in your tribulations. For these trials you are in are separating the flesh from the spirit in you. They are your preparations for entering into the fullness of God without measure. The actual act of overcoming is simply walking through each trial. The actual act of overcoming is simply walking through each trial. Once more, the actual act of overcoming is simply walking through each trial, through each negative experience, and in time and by wisdom, rejoicing in the trial that assailed you. For that trial that assailed your mortal frame was just one more step in preparing you for your life of eternal rest. One more step in preparing you to pass by the gates of pearl, to enter in eternally to the New Jerusalem, the glorious city of God. Oh, dear saint, we have heard of this city, but now we see it. We enter into it by the trials we have endured, for God is delivering unto himself a holy people washed in the blood of Jesus. For God is delivering unto himself a holy people washed in the blood of Jesus. A people who not only received the washing of the blood of Jesus, but who now pump in their very veins the blood of Christ without measure. Let me read that again, for this is prophecy. I, Kenneth B. Vischer, do prophesy this. For God is delivering unto himself a holy people washed in the blood of Jesus. And the prophecy? A people who not only received the washing of the blood of Jesus, but who now pump in their very veins the blood of Christ without measure. For the people in the New Jerusalem will be a glorified people, a people with no ending of life or days. If you, dear saint, are enduring trials, know that the New Jerusalem is your end. That is exactly where you are going to end up. Will I endure this testing I am in? You may ask. Yes, because Christ is in you, and he first endured this so you could also, for he is your refuge during the Euroclidon windstorm. I see that there are four examples of the Euroclidon winds of tribulation in the scripture. We have this one on Psalm 48. We have the one the Apostle Paul endured along with those on the ship in Acts 27 verses 14 to 44. But there are two more very precious examples. Both of these we have such a joy and a hope. Matthew 14, verses 24 to 33 says, But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased, and they were in the ship and came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Matthew 14:24-33. Just when you thought your vessel would perish under the tumult of the storms of life, Jesus, your Savior, comes walking to you on the waters. And the other example, the fourth example of the Euroclydon storm, from Mark 4:36-41. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. I'll just read that again. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, hear this, dear overcomer. Peace, be still. Hear this, dear overcomer. Peace, be still. Even in the midst of the storms of life, dear Jesus says, Peace, be still. You can endure your Euroclydon, dear overcomer. Hold fast, for the Master is here. He has set himself to perfect that which concerns your life. Saint of God, look away from that flesh that is putrid and protruding from you. Look away from that grief, from that separation, from that great and horrible trial. Look away from the raging of the waves and the darkness of the deeps. Look up and see your Savior walking to you on the sea. See him in the hinder part of your ship of life, sleeping in calmness and with no stress or strain. He shall bring great peace to you. Get your eyes off of your tribulation, your loss, your hurtful and painful experience. Get your eyes on him, who at first you think is a ghost, but then you realize it is the Lord. Look to him. Get your gaze fixed on him. If need be, get into your closet of prayer. And in the midst of the howling winds of Euroclydon that blow around about your mortal frame, and fix your eyes upwards. Closet of prayer, folks. Get into your closet of prayer. In the midst of the howling winds of Euroclydon that blow around about your mortal frame, and fix your eyes upwards. Set your face upon his face. Little footnote, the closet of prayer can be anything that is precious to you that you do. For example, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a literal closet. Set your face upon his face. See him in the New Jerusalem, and then go unto him there. See him in the New Jerusalem, and then go unto him there. Come through the fires, the floods, the testings of life, and come into your inheritance. For you can do this, dear overcomer. You can make it. You can get through this life, and you can enter in by the gates into your eternal home. Verses 9 and 10 say, "We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness." God is the temple of glory that covers the New Jerusalem. No physical temple, but a spiritual temple made of glorious spirit substance, faith made manifest. And how much gratitude will we express when we see that ultimate aim of God for us was to deliver us unto himself. The name of God at that time is then expressed through the earth, and all shall come to worship before him, for his judgments are made manifest. When the overcomers are caught up to the fullness of spirit, with their tribulations behind them, then the rest of the world will be delivered into their liberty. For this is the manifestation of the sons of God, the time of setting creation free of death and decay. Ample will be the supply of the righteousness of God, no shortage for any soul. The Lord will do this as a quick work and will establish the world under the rule of the government of Christ, the 144,000 brackets, a figurative number, not literal, end brackets, who will rule and reign in the entire world as those who are filled with the authority of Father. The righteous God supplies at that time will come from his right hand. The righteousness God supplies at that time will come from his right hand. The right hand of grace, not the left hand of judgment, for the judgment of God will have come to completion. And this is to be on this earth in its time, and no one will be exempt from this perfect and final working. But to the overcomers will be granted that place of rulership within the walls of jasper. Each person after them will in due course endure the fires of testing, and each one in due course shall enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem. But there is yet more, dear overcomer, for this psalm has not yet come to an end. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.